the value of central bankers staying out of the political fray. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This was the week in which the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, William Dudley, wrote an opinion column arguing that since our central bank's job is to keep employment strong and inflation low, then maybe the Fed should adopt policies that keep President Trump from getting reelected. Dudley is now in academia, and he declined our interview request. The Federal Reserve has distanced itself from the piece. Dudley's argument caused a firestorm, given the Fed's tradition of staying out of political fights. Harvard economist Larry Summers is the former U.S. Secretary of the Treasury under Clinton and director of the National Economic Council under Obama. Dr. Summers, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
So you think this column is dangerous stuff?
It holds out the prospect that the Fed will directly intervene in politics and try to influence who wins a presidential election. It's a dangerous idea that the actual Fed wouldn't dream of contemplating. And for Mr. Dudley to use his proximity to the Fed as a former official to hold it out, I think is very threatening and gives aid and comfort to the paranoid fantasies of those who surround the president.
I mean, one way of reading the Dudley column, I mean, he does get to this, is the argument that if the Fed lowers interest rates to give the White House leeway to escalate the trade war further, and members of the Federal Reserve decide that would hurt the U.S. economy, then why not do what they think is right for the economy?
That's like the military saying that if they promise to fight effectively, that will encourage the president to choose more military strategies, and that will undermine our national security. It's not their role in our democracy to try to lever what the president does, and it's not the Fed's role in our democracy to try to choose our president.
I suppose we have to acknowledge that the Dudley column was in the context of President Trump frequently trying to browbeat the chair of the Fed to push down interest rates, and the president likes to try to undermine the authority of the Fed chairman. So I'm not sure Dudley started this.
I'm not sure he did, but Jay Powell has responded appropriately that the Fed has a mandate and the Fed is going to act within it whatever anybody says. And that seems to me is the right way for the Fed to respond. I also think there's a different and related principle. When you're a former official who's seen as having continuing close ties to a portion of the government, you need to recognize that when you speak, it may be heard as signaling the intention of the agency you once worked for.
Harvard economist Larry Summers used to be the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury. Dr. Summers, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Despite gathering clouds over the global economy, American consumers were still spending merrily in the U.S. in July. Consumer spending went up by a brisk 0.6%, but an embedded inflation figure favored by the guardians of interest rates at the Fed held steady at 1.6% annualized, below what the Fed likes to see. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial.
So you've got modest inflation, which favors an interest rate cut. The other thing, when the Fed looks at these numbers, they don't so much care what consumers are doing today. They're thinking about what they might do in the future. And the one ominous thing in the report is that income only rose 0.1%. Maybe it's anomalous, maybe it bounces back, but that's another modest reason to think the Fed might cut rates, because their consumption forecast is likely going to be a little weaker.
Chris, thank you. The stock of Campbell's Soup is up about 6% after the company's profits this morning beat expectations. Revenues were lower than expected, though. Many processed food companies have been struggling as people seek what they see as healthier alternatives. Yet, people are snacking more. Marketplace's Justin Ho explains.
Earlier this year, Jennifer Harris at the University of Connecticut held a series of focus groups with parents of toddlers. Harris researches food marketing to children, and she was trying to get a sense of what kind of snacks parents are buying for their kids.
In every group, they talk about the fish. The fish. And we finally, figured out that they were talking about Goldfish crackers.
They said the little crackers that look like fish are convenient, easy to throw in the car or in a bag. But parents also seem to view them as healthier than stuff like chips or cookies. Harris says this makes sense. Companies like Campbell's, which owns the Goldfish brand, have been trying to make regular old processed foods sound wholesome.
They use marketing messages like baked with real cheese or made with whole grain or no artificial flavors and colors, things like that.
Old-fashioned stuff like canned soup and cereal isn't selling well. But snacks are a growing source of revenue for food companies, in large part because consumers are demanding snacks they don't see as junk food, says David Henkes at the food consultancy Technomic.
We've got about one-third of consumers that say they're snacking on healthier food more today than they were 2 years ago.
Henkes says this has forced a lot of food companies into a decision.
Do we invest in some of the faster-growing companies where we can essentially buy our way into some growth and some new product categories?
Just this week, Hershey bought the company One Brands, which makes protein bars. Last year, Pepsi, which sells a lot of Doritos and Lay's potato chips, acquired a company called Health Warrior, which has a whole line of snack bars made from chia seeds. Mars, the candy company, has a stake in Kind, which makes those nut and fruit bars you see at Starbucks.
We can't narrowly define a snack any longer as just, something in a bag or a box.
That's John Stanton, a professor of food marketing at St. Joseph's University. He studies the eating habits of younger consumers. Stanton says another thing pushing up snack sales is that Gen Z and millennial consumers are snacking between meals and using snacks as meal replacements.
This is a common thing that I hear in my focus groups. Oh, I skipped breakfast. I had a breakfast bar instead. Well, I want to say to them, then you actually didn't skip breakfast.
And food companies know that more occasions to eat snacks means more chances to sell snacks. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Yeah, when the kids are in the back asking for fish, they typically don't mean halibut or red snapper. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.